Awesome. Yeah. Amen. So powerful. Thanks, Pastor Ken. Just I'll introduce myself in a moment in our team. Just as I'm getting ready up here, we have some of our team with us, our leaders from New Nature. Do any of you guys have a word of encouragement, a prophetic word for someone in the room? If you do, just jump up now, and as I'm getting ready, just ask that person to stand and just to, for the body. Yeah, okay.
So I'm Beck. Nice to meet you. So as we were just worshiping, I just really felt like even some of the songs that we're singing, like it's no coincidence. Like there's never any coincidence with the Lord. I just really felt like as we were singing the blessing and just like His Spirit was brooding over. And we're singing about like a blessing, like your family, like your children. Like I really feel like there's an invitation here for the Lord to heal families. Like there's been like some hurt in like relationships, and not just like a couple people, but like He wants to bring together like families, like healthy families, and it's not just one person. I just really feel like this is a house where you will come in and you will host like families that will run strong together after the kingdom. And as people start to come in, I really feel like as you carry the kingdom, carry His Spirit, it's like it's not just going to be individuals. It's going to be like I see all the children here, and it's just amazing to see like kids like running around like worshiping the Lord as well, but just embracing as well that mantle of like family ministry. I really feel like He's bringing restoration, but He's also going to be bringing families and like showing you how to equip and like build healthy families as well. It's really so on His heart. So yeah, that's it.
That's a great word, yeah.
Good morning all, I'm Rosie, nice to meet you. I do feel like I have a word for the church, Faith Works Church. So in Isaiah 35, it says, the redeemed return to Zion. And Zion to me represents the church of God. So it says here, the desert will blossom like a rose and rejoice. Every dry and barren place will burst forth with abundant blossoms, dancing and spinning with delight. Lebanon lush splendor covers it. The magnificent beauty of Carmel and Sharon. My people will see the awesome glory of Yahweh, the beautiful grandeur of our God. It says, strengthen those who are discouraged. Energize those who feel defeated. Say to the anxious and fearful ones, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He is breaking through to give you victory. He comes and avenge your enemies with divine retribution. He comes to save you. Then blind eyes will open and deaf ears will hear. Then the lame will leap like playful deer, and the tongue-tied will sing songs of triumph. Gushing water will spring up in the wilderness, and streams will flow through the desert. So I feel as a body, there's an invitation, an impartation from the Holy Spirit right now to really live out the name of the church, that faith works. And there's the Holy Spirit is refreshing you. Like Isaiah 35 is for every one of you. And on the way here, I was reminded of Barnabas in the Bible. And I feel there's such a release of the Barnabas anointing. He was known as, you know, the disciple. He's the son of encouragement. And so I feel like the Lord is opening your eyes and your ears and your heart to see the brethren like He sees it. Like you will actually like walk in, live a lifestyle of kingdom culture where you see your brother and sister like you don't, like you've never seen before. Like you will see them the way God sees them. And I just feel like as a family, there's such an anointing right now to really put you guys together in such a tight bond where the center of it is the Holy Spirit, where the center of it is Jesus. So Lord, I just thank you for the impartation of the spirit of encouragement over this church, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving in our midst, God. I thank you, Lord, that there would be such a hunger for the truth, because you said knowing the truth sets us free. So thank you for them to walk into a whole new level of freedom like they've never known before, God. And so right now, I just ask for our hearts to be opened to what the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking through Jason tonight, today. So Holy Spirit, come. Come refresh every single one of us here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
One more quick one with Kylie, and then we're going to open up the word.
Cool. I just had a word for the young guy in the blue shirt. I just see you're going to be rising up in your generation. And I kept getting the words radical revival. And God said to me that you're going to be the one that stands out in the crowd. And you're going to begin to lead people in your youth to Christ. And you're going to start that radical revival in Gisborne. And you're going to see those guys coming in to Faith Works. And just seeing a radical generation within Gisborne. So yeah, I just... Thank you, Lord, that this young man's stepping out in you, Lord, and whatever doubts he may have with what you're calling him to do, God, that you take away those doubts and you give him the encouragement and the faith and that to keep following through with what you're calling him to do, God. Amen.
So good. All right. Thank you, Father. We love the prophetic. The prophetic, Paul writes in Corinthians, is to strengthen, comfort, and encourage. And in Thessalonians, it says not to treat the prophetic with contempt. So we receive it, we weigh it up, and I really believe those words are accurate for this body and for you, young man. So, yeah. Amen. My name's Jason. I'm from Bendigo. My wife and two kids are back home. We were supposed to be here a fortnight ago. Obviously, we had that snap lockdown, so things got changed. And... But we were able to bring a few of our team from New Nature. So we have Bayers, Rosie, Beck, Elise, Kylie, and Ali. And and Robbie. Up the Robbie's hiding. And we were going to hopefully have another carload, but because of, the change of dates, it didn't quite work out. But it's just awesome that whenever we have an invitation or a personal invitation to come, we love to bring a team because we really feel that this is not just about us coming to minister. This is actually a family imparting to another family. That's how we see it. And I just want to, I'm aware of time as well, so I want to honor that. Okay. What was that? Sorry? Don't stress too much. Okay, sure. Awesome. Thanks, Kerry. So, New Nature Church, the name derives from Ephesians 4:24, which says, put on your new nature, created to be like him, righteous and holy. And one of our core pillars of truth that we have pursued as a community in the last 4 years, running a church that's 4 years old, is that when we become born again, the old man is gone and we are a new creation in him. And we have seen the message of what it is to be a righteous son and daughter established in a community, that it is possible to live free from sin and alive in Christ. And that's where our name comes from. That's one of our core messages. That's not what I'm going to be looking at today. But as we get into the message, I want to just preface something real quick. I feel like I also have a word for you guys as a community. And there's times where I feel God speaking to me louder and clearer than others. And it's actually good to know or to find the space how God can speak to you. I mean, he can speak to you anywhere. But I find when I'm riding my bike, I can hear God clearly. I find when I'm vacuuming the floors, I can hear God clearly. I don't know why. I just do. My wife's the complete opposite. She just has a quiet, still time and she hears the Lord. I need to be doing something and I get downloads. Driving, riding my bike or vacuuming, I hear the Lord. And I have a few things I want to just decree and declare over you as a family and a community here that I believe the Lord has downloaded. And I want to say this right at the start. I'm not coming as a guest ministry. I'm coming as a seed sower. That's what I've had the Lord say. I'm coming as a seed sower today to sow seed into good soil. Because the Bible says that you would produce fruit and fruit that would last. So our heart is that seeds are going to be deposited and sown into good soil today. That if we come back or if we don't, whatever happens in the future, that we know that there's good soil that is producing lasting fruit. And so I want to say that right from the start, that prepare your hearts as good soil, because seeds are about to drop. Now, this is one thing I shared with our community, but I actually felt it was for you guys, but I borrowed it for New Nature a few weeks ago. And I felt the Lord say this for you guys: God is not looking for another mega church. What he's looking for is two people who can at least come into agreement. Let me just say this. Matthew 18, verse 19, it says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Nothing wrong with mega churches, but I've had the Lord say, I'm not looking for a mega church in Gisborne. I'm looking for people who can come into agreement. I'm looking for people who can come into agreement concerning the things of the kingdom, who can stand and pray and see the kingdom established in this territory, this region. And so it's very powerful. We teach about this, that I believe one of the most formidable forces on the planet is when a husband and wife come together in prayer. The devil hates it. And so you'll find if you're not praying as a husband and wife, it's actually the biggest thing you have to fight for, because the enemy knows how powerful it is. But what does it look like then for a community of faith to come into agreement? That's what I believe the Lord's saying. You may get a mega church from that. Awesome. But that's not the goal. I felt him say, don't worry about that. Just come together in agreement and establish the kingdom. I felt Romans 8:31 was for you guys. It says this, Paul writes, what then shall we say in response to these things? He's asking a question. And he says this, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And I believe that's an invitation right now for you guys as a community. It's an invitation for your business. It's an invitation for your children. It's an invitation for your marriage. It's an invitation for your ministry. If God is for you, who can be against you? It's an invitation because he's actually more for you than you're for yourself. He's more for your business than you're for your business. He's more for this church than you're for this church. And I believe that people are for this church. God is way more for it than you are. Same with New Nature. I love our community and I'm so for it. But God was inviting me into a place of actually leaning into him, because he's so much more for it. Having confidence. It's actually an invitation of confidence of how much he is for this community. If God is for you, who can be against you? It's a rhetorical question. It's an invitation of confidence in him. I believe another thing is that your language will be the precursor for shifting and establishing culture. So I felt the Lord say, begin to get intentional with your language. The Bible says that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, right? It sets the course. Your words actually go before you and set the course where you're to go. And I really felt the Lord saying for this community with a number of things. One was, come into agreement. Second thing was, have confidence in how much he's for you. And the third thing was actually begin to change your language. Watch what you say. Be very intentional with how you're speaking. The fourth thing was, I felt this. There's a changing of the tools that you've been using. There's a letting go and there's a picking up of new tools for the task at hand. In other words, when you're building a house, you get to a certain place in building the house where you have to change the tools. You can't keep using a hammer to rewire the house. You've got to then pick up some pliers. And I felt there's been a foundation, there's been an establishing, there's infrastructure in place, but now there's a changing of the tools. You have the tool belt on, putting down some old tools, picking up some new tools. I don't exactly know what that means, it's what I saw for you guys. So you can take that as a leadership and flesh that out. And the last thing was Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4. What then shall we say in response to these things? Again, no, that's the wrong question. That's the wrong scripture. I've got it here. Sorry, I double-pasted. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart may ascend to the hill of the Lord, it goes on. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. and it's an invitation to go higher. Clean hands is the outward motive, the expression. A pure heart is the inner, the secrets, the motives. And I feel the Lord saying an invitation again. I'm taking you up higher. But the reality is it's a clean hands and it's a pure heart. Okay, so take those five things. Bring them before the Lord. But I believe that there are five things that the Lord has given specifically for this community. And you can weigh them up, you can judge them. And if you feel to embrace them, go for it. All right. Let's honor the time. Obviously, I'm going to speak more than 5 minutes, but God is here. Amen. All right. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. So back in the day when Jesus was walking the earth, there were two types of religious people. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were wealthy and held powerful positions. They were more interested in politics than religion. Then you had the Pharisees. They were in opposition to the Sadducees. They mingled more with the common man. They had strict observance to the Jewish tradition and the law. They were self-righteous, and they were the religious leaders and teachers of the day. So you had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Both had held certain prominent positions in Jesus' day. Now, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, in other words, the Sadducees had come to Jesus to try and trip him up. They've come like, okay, this guy has come on the scene. He's radical. He's stirring things up. We don't like it. Let's try and trip him up. But Jesus silences the Sadducees. Now the Pharisees got together. It was now their turn. Even though they were enemies, essentially, they also had a common enemy, which was Jesus. And they tried together to trip him up. But one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now they knew the law. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hang on these two commands. They failed in trying to trip Jesus up. Jesus just comes back with absolute wisdom. Wisdom from another age. The greatest is to love God with everything that you have. Everything that you are. The second is like it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on and says, the law and the prophets, they do what? They hang on these two commands. Okay, now I believe we see a picture of this painted in Mark chapter 9. Now for the sake of time, we won't read all these scriptures, but in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 to 8, we read the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Jesus is called up to the mountain. Now, who does he take with him? Anyone know? Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of the 12 disciples. He takes them, those three with him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, paraphrasing here, it says a cloud comes and drops. Now, who appears with Jesus when that cloud drops? Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John are freaking out, and Peter's like, we need to build three tabernacles. He doesn't know what to say. He's actually like dumbfounded and he just says some silly things. But then a voice speaks from the cloud. Does anyone know what the voice says? This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Now, the Bible says that God is what God is. That's with L. Anyone know? Love. God is love. God is the embodiment of love. Love is not an attribute of God. Kindness is an attribute. But when it says God is love, God is the embodiment of love. He is love personified. He is love personified. He is love. Right? Now in Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. But if God is love, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen love. that make sense? So if you want to get a revelation of love, who do you look at? Jesus. It's real simple. So if we want to get a revelation of love, we look at Jesus, who's exact representation of the Father. The Father is love. Now we see Jesus saying this to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Back to Mark chapter 9, the Mount of Transfiguration. There's Jesus who is love personified. There is Moses and there is Elijah. And there's the voice of God coming out of a cloud. This is my son, listen to him. Who was God speaking to? Peter, James and John. Now Jesus said, the law and the prophets hang off of love. What does Moses represent? The law. What does Elijah represent? The prophets. And what does Jesus represent? Love. And God says what? This is my son, listen to him. Listen to love. There's a new covenant being established. The law and the prophets will hang off of it, but our focus is love. I really feel this for this community. There's a revelation of love coming. It's going to transcend you. It's going to transform you. You see, we have it in our head knowledge. Oh yes, God loves me. But it needs to drop from our head to our heart. Revelation. Let me just read the quote I had here. I want to get it right. I got it last night, just laying in bed. When truth becomes revelation, it moves from the head to the heart. You can know the truth in the sense of, I know God loves me, and it's head knowledge. But it becomes revelation when it moves from there to there. Now, I want to share a story with you. Because I grew up in church, and I knew God loved me. But about 3 years ago, I had an encounter that changed my life. I wasn't looking for this encounter, but God knew it was going to happen. And I was sitting in my living room with my wife and a friend from Brisbane and two of our leaders. And my wife has been journeying through sickness in her body. We've been contending for healing for about 6 years now. And now in the last 6 months, she started to see some recovery. Okay, it's due to having kids, et cetera, et cetera. But she's always leant into Hebrews 12:24, which says the blood of Jesus speaks a better word, better than the blood of Abel. Abel speaks of a victim mentality. He was murdered by his brother. The blood of Jesus speaks of victory. His blood speaks a better word. And we've been contending for healing, and we're seeing something begin to shift in the last 6 months. About 3 years ago, we're sitting in my living room, and my friend Mark Greenwood says, how about we pray for Rachel? And so I was outside waving goodbye to some friends, and I come back inside. There's Mark and our friends, Matt and Casey, a married couple, praying for my wife. I'm like, okay, awesome. We believe the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When you understand your righteousness, you can have confidence that your prayers are powerful. And by the way, you are a righteous son and daughter. That is truth. They're praying for my wife, and I come down and sit beside her. She's laying on the couch, and I just put my hand on her. And I feel this invitation from the Holy Spirit. And we just had our first conference as a community. And one of the words that came leading up to the conference was that we would begin to chart new territory, and that we would burn the ships. In other words, God was taking us somewhere as a community that we'd never gone before, and we weren't going back. And I thought it was to do with what was being released as the message to the guest speakers, for the worship. But I was so blindsided that it actually happened on the last night in our living room. And I remembered the word. And as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my friend Mark, who I've only known, I'd only met him in person 2 days earlier, but we chatted probably for about a year online. He's in Brisbane. And I felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to give Mark a holy kiss. Now let me just say this. Holy kisses are absolutely biblical. Yeah. Okay, it says in the Bible to greet one another with a holy kiss. I've shared this before and some people have gone, well, that's a bit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not. When the motive is right and the heart is right, it's actually a beautiful way to greet one another. And I'm looking at Mark and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to give Mark a holy kiss. And I'm like, nah. Not happening. There's no way. I'm like, no. And the Holy Spirit again, I want you to give Mark a holy kiss. I'm like, what? So I look at Mark, who I've just spent the last 2 days with in person. I said, Mark, I actually feel the Holy Spirit asking me to give you a holy kiss on the cheek. Okay, not the lips, the cheek. Just to make that clear. And Mark's like, no worries. And so he just puts his cheek out like this in our living room towards me. And Matt and Casey, our leaders who have now moved to Brisbane, are like, who is, they know me. And they're like, this is not Jason. This is weird. Like, and my wife's like, massive grin on her face because like, he's getting in touch with his emotional side. And like, she's loving that. And so I pucker my lips up and I lean in towards Mark. And I get about this far from him and I just pull back. I'm like, nah, not doing it. This is not me. This is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Mark's like, okay, it's fine. So I pull back, I'm sitting there. And I'm like, Holy Spirit's no, I want you to give Mark a holy kiss. I'm like, oh man. So I'm like, Mark, I feel the Holy Spirit saying I'm supposed to give you a holy kiss. So Mark puts his cheek out again. And I pucker my lips up. And I lean in and I kiss Mark on the cheek. As I kiss him on the cheek, I have this encounter that I've never had before in my life. I kiss him on the cheek and I fall back. And it was like, I don't even know how to fully describe the encounter that I had. But my life was changed. I opened my eyes and I saw Casey, one of our leaders, and it was like I was looking at her with new eyes. I was looking at her with absolute purity. It was like I had new eyes put in my head. And it was like this, almost like an out-of-body encounter. As I laid back, and it was like I was looking at myself having this encounter. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I need to go find a stranger. I need to look at someone I don't know because I feel like I have the eyes of love, the eyes of the Father inside me. As I'm laying there, the Holy Spirit flashes a picture of when Judas kissed Jesus. And Judas took what was holy and he distorted it and perverted it into a place of betrayal. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, as I kissed Mark, I was restoring back to the bride a dimension of purity that was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm like, what? And we were 6 months old as a church, and we knew how to do church, and we could do church well. But that night, we went from doing church to becoming family. There was an absolute line drawn in the sand, and it was like, it was like all of a sudden we knew what it was to become love, which is what the law and the prophets hang off, which is what we're to listen to. That prophetic act was the burning of our ships as a church. And we went from side hugs to embracing one another in absolute purity. And I was wrecked because I grew up in church my whole life and like a holy kiss was weird. But all of a sudden, it's now how we greet one another in love. And my walls came down and I became vulnerable. And in the vulnerability came an absolute freedom in my life. I realized that, like, by putting up walls, I was thinking I was protecting myself. It was actually hindering freedom. And this freedom came to my life. I was absolutely free from the fear of man through love. The Bible says perfected love will drive out fear. I tasted love. Psalm 34 verse 8, it says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just imagine a chocolate bar and you've never eaten a chocolate bar before, like you didn't even know they existed. And someone comes along and says, hey, you got to try this new thing, it's called chocolate. And you look at it and it doesn't look appetizing, like you've never seen chocolate before. So you're like, well, that looks like, you know, imagine a picnic bar. right? It looks like something else, not like chocolate. I'm not going to eat that. But your friend's like, man, it tastes incredible. And it doesn't look appetizing. What's this thing called chocolate? It makes no sense. He's like, no, you've got to taste it. And then you, okay, you pluck up the courage, you go, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable right now. I'm going to take a bite of that chocolate. You take a bite, and what happens? You taste and you see how good it really is. See, I can tell you how good God's love is. I can paint pictures, I can tell you stories. But unless you allow the water to come down and become vulnerable and you step into that place, you can be looking at it the whole time, but you're never seen. Taste and see how good God is. There's an invitation for you this morning as individuals, as families, as a community to step into a fresh dimension of the love of God that will ratify your life. But it will take vulnerability. It will take the walls coming down. You live for an audience of one. It's not about what the person next to you thinks. And this changed the life of our community. And we really started to understand, oh my goodness, this is what it means to love one another. Philippians 2 says, prefer one another. Put the interests of others above the interests of yourself. Do you know how powerful that is? We have a community of about 60 people, 70 people in New Nature. Right now, so if I'm preferring 60 other people above myself, guess what? I have 60 people preferring me. It becomes exponential in a community. When you lay down your life for someone else and you prefer them and you serve them, you also have everyone else in your community doing the same for you. In other words, if I was just to prefer myself, I can only do so much. But when I have a community of 60 other people preferring me, my goodness, it's absolutely revelational, transformative. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And he goes on, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That happened to me on that night. The eyes of my heart were enlightened. I saw like I'd never seen before the body of Christ, my brothers and my sisters. My marriage changed. It was phenomenal. There was a restoration of purity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding, and to understanding add strength of self-control, to self-control add patient endurance, and to patient endurance add godliness, and to godliness add mercy toward your brothers and sisters, and to mercy toward others add unending love. So we can read that and we can know it. See, the Bible says his peace passes understanding. I'm like, why does his peace pass understanding? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, because it's experiential. His peace isn't just something you know, it's actually something you experience. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, Paul writes, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you step into the kingdom of God. Your default setting became righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, joy and peace in the kingdom are no longer just a natural emotion. They're actually a spiritual dimension in which you walk. His love goes beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge. Add unending love towards others. Man. The Bible says in John, the greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his brother. And so we read that and we think, oh, it means I have to physically die for them. No. Well, yes. But you can lay down your life in other ways without dying for your brothers and sisters. You can serve them. You can prefer them. That's how you lay down your life for your brother and sister. Yes, you can physically die. But there's many other ways to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. The love of God, he is the embodiment of love, like we said earlier. He's not an attribute. In other words, is God infinite? Yes or no? Yes. If God is infinite, then so is his love, because he is love. In other words, 100 billion years from now, you will still be exploring the width, depth, height, and length of his love. In Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19, it talks about the Holy Spirit being given. And the Holy Spirit's not just given so that you can perform miracles and move in the gifts of the Spirit. That's part of it. But it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, the Holy Spirit is also given so that you may have the power and the strength to know the width, length, height, and depth of his love. In other words, outside of God, outside of the Spirit, you cannot know how good his love is. It takes the Holy Spirit to explore his love. That's awesome, man. It just tells us straight away, it's beyond the natural realm. It's beyond this world. Baze, if you want to just jump on the keys and just play that last song, that would be awesome. Two more scriptures I want to finish on. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 to 14, it says this, and now these three things remain. Anyone know what they are? Faith, hope, and what? Love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. I was sitting on that scripture and going, wow. Faith, hope, and love will always remain. But love is the greatest. But how great is faith and hope also? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things, what? Unseen or hoped for. I can hope for something off in the distant future. But faith is grabbing that now and bringing it into a manifest reality. It's the substance of what I hoped for. In other words, one day, you know, you may be a young person. I know these two young ladies, Beck and Rosie, had the nations on their heart to go to the nations. And they've already been in the nations. They're going back to the nations. But they grew up, I believe, with the hope in their heart of one day going to the nations. But faith was actually buying the ticket and hopping on the plane. It was the substance of what they hoped for. But the reason they went was love. Love was the motivating factor for them to go. Faith and hope and love remain, but love is the greatest. Faith, the grain of a mustard seed, will move mountains, but love is greater than moving mountains. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it says in Proverbs, it is a tree of life. Hope actually has the power to bring life. Faith has the power to move mountains, but love is even greater than hope and faith. You can heal the sick through faith, 100%. You can see breakthrough come through hope. But you can also see breakthrough come through love. Think of a power station or power stations. You can create power through many ways, right? We have electricity with these lights right here. We have like wind turbines. We have solar panels. We have in the high country, what is it? The hydroelectric. Three different ways to create electricity. But there are ways, certain ways to create electricity that are more efficient and more effective than others. But they all can create electricity. Faith can move mountains. Faith can heal the sick. Hope is a tree of life. Hope does not disappoint. But love is greater. You know, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, it says he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41 to 42, it says the same thing. And Jesus being moved with compassion, he healed the sick. Love has the power to heal. Love has the power to set free. Love has the power to deliver. The Bible says that God so loved the world. What did he do? he gave. He looked upon humanity and he was so moved with compassion that he emptied out heaven for you. Faith, hope, love remain, but love is the greatest. We can operate in the prophetic through faith without love and be accurate. But in his eyes, it counts for nothing. Does that make sense? You're right? But when the motivating factor is love, anything's possible. The word compassion, which Jesus was moved by when he healed the sick, it means this: a feeling of deep sympathy or sorrow for one who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Compassion just doesn't feel sorry for someone. Compassion brings a solution, the answer. God not just look upon humanity and felt sorry for us. He looked upon us and go, oh my goodness, I'm moved. I need to bring an answer. That was Jesus. Can we stand? I'm not downplaying hope and faith. They're powerful. But what I'm saying, it says love is greater, the greatest. Love brings answers. Love brings solutions. Positioning your heart to be moved by compassion can literally see the sick healed. I believe love is the most efficient and effective way to bring deliverance, healing, and breakthrough. Partner it with hope, partner it with faith, but without love, it's nothing. To fully know the heart of God, it's not about just receiving love, but giving love. We can receive His love all day, awesome. But to fully know His heart is when we give of our love. Love is not void of truth. For God is love, but Jesus is the truth personified. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's speaking about Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love and truth perfectly go hand in hand. God is love, but Jesus is the personification of truth. In other words, some people are fearful about love because it can get distorted. No. Love in its purest form is partnered with absolute revelation and truth. As I was driving home last night, I was just meditating on this revelation of love, this understanding of love. And we say things like, I want His love so I can win a city. That sounds great. It sounds good. It sounds right. I want more of His love so I can win a city. But you're wanting His love to do something. What about just wanting His love to love Him? And the byproduct is a city will be won. It sounds nice. I want more of His love to win a city. Yeah, I get it. But I want more of His love to love Him more and to love others more. And the byproduct is a city will be won. Lives will be changed. We've seen this happen. We have testimony after testimony in our community. We had a lady named Ali, not this Ali, another Ali, come into my workplace when I was working, and she sat beside me, opposite me in a desk in the office, and she looked at my eyes and she said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, oh yeah, yeah, well how do you know? She said, I can see it in your eyes. And she goes, I'm a Buddhist. I'm living on the stupa. In my 25 minutes out of Bendigo, we have the great stupa. Well, it's not great at all, really, but it's called that. And she'd been living there for a year. She said, I've been looking for peace for the last year. I haven't found it, but I can see that you know peace. I said, yes. I'll come to church on Sunday and I'll introduce you to the person of peace. She came Sunday, 2 days later, so on the Friday, she came on the Sunday. Without even an altar call, she came down the front And I said, this is really funny. I said, everyone just put your hands out in front of you like this. Or no, put your hands out in front of you. And everyone did this. That's all she knew. I'm like, no. She looked at Rachel. And our friend Rachel came up behind her and just put her hands on her shoulder. And the fire of God just hit her. And she said in that moment, she is restored to her true self, who she was as a daughter. Baptized 2 weeks later in a bathtub at our friend's house. We have story after. We had a lady just 2 months ago come out of the blue to her house. She contacted us and said, I saw this on Facebook. You're having a worship night at your house. Can I come? I said, sure. And she rings me up 2 hours later. She goes, oh, can I come and get baptized? I'm like, all right. So she comes. So Rosie was there. I think Beck was there. Ali was there. Her name's Meg. And she caught up with my wife and we just went through the power of baptism. And then we had a worship time in our living room, about 12 people. Oh, man. My wife, we filled the bath and we hop in our bathroom. And Meg's sitting there. And she's got a tattoo on that's like of Indian descent, you know, it was some weird thing. She just wanted the love of God. She says, I've been riddled with anxiety, especially through COVID. And we baptize her, she comes out of the water. She comes out of the water, she's manifesting demons. Like she's nearly vomiting in the bath, she's choking. Her hands are gone like this, she's scratching her face, her arms. And I'm running backwards and forwards from the bathroom to the lounge room saying, guys, keep praying, there's a war going on. You remember that? Yeah. And I'll go back, we're seeing some breakthrough. 20 minutes, there was this wrestle, this struggle in our bathroom. And then we just felt to leave just like that. And she began to just speak in tongues in the bath. I tell you, man, that's what it was worth. That was worth it. That was on a Monday. The Tuesday, we didn't know this, but she had an ultrasound. She rings us up Tuesday night. She goes, my ultrasound's clear. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you don't know this, but I had a 6-centimeter lump in my breast that's completely gone. We didn't even pray for that. We baptized her and just cast a demon out. She got filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues and completely healed. She was blown away. And she goes, 2 months later, she's free from anxiety. But it's family. Family. I've done church my whole life. I've been in leadership for the last 20 years, but the last 4 years, it's been different. We've seen fruit and fruit that would last. Why? Because we've become family. We've opened up our hearts to one another. We've preferred one another, served one another. We've allowed vulnerability. We've become love. And we're still becoming love. We're still growing in that. But we just love this girl that came to our house. And we were moved with compassion in our bathroom. And what happened? The sick were healed. Testimony after testimony. The guy Francis, he was going to come this morning to play guitar just over a year ago. Random phone call. He was sharing this at the campfire just the other night, wasn't he, Baze? Didn't even know him. He says, Jace, I saw my mate get baptized on a photo. I don't know Jesus, but can you help me? I'm like, okay, come to my house tonight. He comes that night. We're sitting in our living room. We open up the scriptures. He repents before God. He gets born again in our living room. I'm like, all right, we're gonna go baptize you now. So we drive 5 minutes to where there's a pool at a friend's house. We baptize. He comes out of the water, manifesting demons. We have a whole teaching on that. But we 80% of people that we see baptized, we see completely set free from demonic oppression. For about 15 seconds, he's shaking like this. Then all of a sudden, his hand just goes up like a sign of victory and he just starts speaking in tongues in the tub. And he's just family. He's just a brother now. I feel there is such an invitation to step into a new depth of love beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge, to lay down your life for one another. He's not looking for a mega church. He's looking for a family in agreement. This is my son. Listen to him. I've seen people get caught up in the law. And the religious spirit just comes on them. But when you become love, it's okay if you don't fully agree on everything. That your dogma is the same. Dogma is the foundational truths of Christianity. But doctrine, some may believe in tithing, some may believe in kingdom generosity. The religious spirit will twist that, but in love, it's like, okay, you give 10%, I'll give 50, whatever. I tell you, man, I see this place as a portal of love. And a portal of love will bring a portal of power. Become love, watch the power flow. Become love, watch people get healed. Become love, watch deliverance just happen. Become love, watch people get set free. Become love, and you become such a family that people will be drawn. The Bible says they will know you are my disciples by the way that you what? Have love for one another. In other words, love is the greatest evangelistic tool. When you love one another, people want to be a part of that. They want into that family. Allow your hearts to be knit together. It's 12 o'clock. We're going to have lunch in a moment. But I just want to open up the altar just for anyone to respond. I feel there's a baptism of love for you that's available. Break every chain. Break the fear of man. Break anxiety. Break worry. Even I feel the Lord just speaking about marriages right now. I feel there's a marriage here. It's like you've been ships passing in the night. He wants to rekindle that with a baptism of love. Whoa. I see like spouses falling in love with each other again. The eyes of your heart would be enlightened. A restoration of purity. It's the most powerful force on the planet because God is love. It's not about, this isn't about a recipe. Or trying to recreate that night in my living room. The Bible says His mercy is in you every morning. What He wants to do is different, but it can be far greater and unique to you. See, if He can harden hearts like Pharaoh's, then He can certainly soften them. And if you felt like your heart's been hard, there's an invitation for that to be softened. Oh my goodness, you watch what happens when your heart's softened. You walk out of this place and you will see people differently. Jesus was moved by love and the sick were healed. What does that look like to be so moved? It's not, you're not even trying to heal the sick. You're just moved by love. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father. We're going to officially finish, but we're going to open up the altar. We're going to have some of our leaders praying. We'll have our leaders praying in twos, if that's all right. Yeah, Ellie, you can just partner up with one of the girls. We're just going to simply this, a fresh baptism of love, a fresh encounter with love, restoring of marriages, breaking hardness of heart, beholding Him, becoming love. Just come out the front if you want to respond to that. The reason we come out the front, because it's an activation of faith. So you can sit there and receive it, and you can receive it. But when you appropriate what you've just heard by coming and stepping out, God honors that, I believe. because you're positioning yourself intentionally in faith to respond to what has just been said. So please come now if you want that. Softening of a heart, a baptism of love, a fresh encounter with him. You know, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, Have I not withheld my love from you? Paul, the super apostle, have I not withheld my love from you? And he can only say that because he has the Father's heart. And God will not withhold from you in this moment. But please come now. We're not going to linger on this. If no one comes, that's fine. But if you want to come, come. Ellie, do you mind just singing that? Just singing? Oh, not Ellie, sorry, Elise. Yeah. Thank you, Father. See, in Hebrews it says, having your senses trained, you're able to discern. You see, you can feel a shift in the atmosphere. It's just God is just doing something different right now. And we lean into that. We surrender to that. Now, if you need to go to the toilet, or you need to go out, then that's okay. This isn't about a spectator sport. This is actually full contact in the kingdom. You're a part of it. I just feel there's maybe one or two that still need to come. You feel that tugging. Don't resist it right now. Don't allow your pride just to fall off. Well, it's not yours. You don't have pride as a son or daughter. Just don't partner with that. Amen. Thanks, brother. Thanks, sister. So it's going to release our leaders, our team, just to pair up. And it's going to just stand with you. Just lay hands on your shoulders. And just begin to just pray prophetically a confirmation of why you've come, why you've responded, of what the message has just been released. So yeah, you guys. If you need catches, otherwise we'll catch as well. You just go for it, Elise and Basia. Oh, his love's heavy, man. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. Allow the heart of God to move you.